of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. The Seattle Sounders just defeated LAFC for the first time in almost 4 years. 3.5 years. So this is a fantastic evening and why we're recording. I am here, Aaron Lingley, with your Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins, and also here with Nicholas Biella, the Alliance Council Secretary.
Ooh,
yeah.
Got it.
Nailed it. Tonight, me and the Sounders. Let's go. Let's go. Sounders win.
Can I play something for you all?
Please.
Oh. Ilya first to it. Roldan trying to bring it down. Not clear. Morris turning!
Let's go.
Morris in extra time.
I'm drinking now.
Please, let's open up. I am ready like for your celebratory beer.
Yes, do it.
I like your fadeaway on that one. That was a rudimentary cut.
Pulling away from the microphone.
Cameron Collins, yes. Producer. Yeah, that was a beautiful effect.
That's what they call
old
school.
I don't have anything to crack, so I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, do
this,
it. Pour it.
Saving. It's a Manhattan
from
On the Rocks. Work gave us a $20 cute Kroger gift card, so I went and got booze.
Very nice.
Hey, I'm gonna crack this open, which is a Rainier.
There was no sound from that pour. There we go, Rainier.
But
I have three in my cooler.
I like the way you think, because work used to, different jobs that I've had in the past used to give me, you know, gift cards for various, you know, goals and milestones and such. And I would often use them to buy a really nice bottle of booze that I wouldn't normally buy myself. So when you look behind when you look at those like 25 bottles of rum and I don't know, maybe
there's some good rums,
20 whiskeys there. Most of those have been with like gift cards where it's like, oh yeah, I'll buy a really nice bottle of booze that I love to share with others. So, hey, everyone, Scuttlebutt, come on over. I'll share my liquor cabinet with you.
Let's do it. Now,
I've enjoyed it.
We played the goal. Sounders won. Okay, discussion over. Let's talk about how the F1 Vegas Grand Prix is in the 43rd.
I'd love to. I would love to talk about that.
43
absolutely.
Out of 50.
Cameron, damn it! I finally watched something live.
I know,
and it was the Sounders match. And you want to poke the bear.
Now,
right
I want to say is, did you at least see some of the footage of the movie that they're filming with George Clooney?
I didn't.
Oh yeah, they on Twitter.
Wait, George Clooney?
Yeah, George Clooney. Oh, Brad Pitt. Excuse me.
Same era, different heartthrob.
Brad Pitt, of course, filming an F1 movie, and they're recording it in the paddocks right now. Probably not right now during the race, but incredible Sounders match. I would say right off the bat, we had a surprise.
Initial reactions. Let's go.
We had a surprise. Oh. I think the lineup was surprising to me. I did not think they would put Reed Baker, Whiting on the left, and John Bell in Nuhu's position. That surprised me.
And a formation change.
Nuhu's position, but it was a formation change.
True.
Yeah. So I think the absence of Nuhu was made up by John Bell and Reed Baker, Whiting to their skill sets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And a little more push forward, but has some defense, and then John Bell has some technical ability, but he's definitely a center back.
Well, and he was very solid.
He had some moments.
I mean, when he gave the ball away, it was when he was pushing forward, which is something we wouldn't have wanted Nuhu to do anyway. So.
Yeah, and also 44 minutes since July, I think, is his playtime, they said. Taylor Twellman, I think, said that. So I think there's definitely going to be some, adrenaline and trying to do more than you're really needed for.
It's more than the 25 for Nathan, who started at LAFC to start the season and has said 25 minutes since.
Hey, John Bell played all 120 minutes. He played all 120 minutes today. He was 50% on ground duels, 50% on aerial duels, 1-for-1 on tackles, 2-for-4 on successful dribbles, 2 block shots. I cannot complain about what we got out of him.
I think it's that 2-for-4 on successful dribbles. I think that those two that he was successful with.
They were giveaways.
In dangerous spots.
Yeah,
but exactly.
Both times the Sounders defense got back and were able to cover a position where it wouldn't have been his fault if the goal scored. They slowed them down and made them reset.
I mean, he was our second highest rated defender out of the back three over Reagan, then Bell, then Gomez, then Neymar. But also if we're counting Reed, Baker, Whiting, and Roldan, Alex had a monster game.
I was going to get into that later. Alex really had his probably best game as a Sounder, best game as a professional. But initial reactions, let's go with that. Nick, what was your just initial reactions? That's what the show's about.
I think my initial reaction was I was very pleased with the way we held our shape and we were very patient with our opportunities, hoping that those opportunities would be successful. Sure, we played with fire a little bit, but in the end, I thought we did what we did all season long, which was have a very strong bend but don't break defense.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would echo that. It was a game of ups and downs, and I would say what I said all along since the U.S. Open Cup match is we figured LAFC out. Schmetzer knows how to beat them. It's about execution. And we saw a team in the first half execute. We saw a team for most of the second half, minus a few transgressions, execute. And then we saw a very worrisome first half of...
that was the problem. That was the only moment where I felt like, oh my God, we're in trouble, the first 15 minutes of extra time.
It felt like one of those situations where subs came on, plans changed, and we as a coaching staff couldn't keep up with what LAFC was doing. And we were just trying to hold on till the end, get it to penalties. Mm-hmm. And then after everyone, including myself, it said, oh God, I mean, you look at the possession in the second half. I know, not Twellman. Twellman was very high in the Sounders, but the main announcer kept saying, you know, LAFC looks dangerous. The Sounders are about to give one up here. And there was, except for the two big Fry saves, at no time did I feel any of those breakaways were really that dangerous because you know Reagan's just going to stand there and kick it away. Hey, now, the Fry saves.
I gotta give a little more credit there. When we watched the post-game highlight package and we're seeing the 9 saves that he had, there were more than 2 that reflection were much more dangerous than I remembered them being.
We expect Fry to be in the right place and our defense was in the right place for, I mean, some of them, like they had a shot go just wide. Well, yeah, if you look at it from behind the goal, when they show that replay, that ball was going wide the entire time. That was never going on frame.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you're talking about, are you talking about the one where he hit the goalpost?
No, this one went just wide left. You hear that beeping in the background. It's people on the Discord going nuts right here, adding more and more questions.
Give us some of it.
Before we get to that, what about you, Aaron? What is your initial reaction?
Yeah. Oh, I exist. I forgot about me. It wasn't until about the 111th minute that I actually had a moment where I realized we might not advance. And I wasn't thinking that I wasn't confident going into the match. I just, for some reason, I just was thinking this wasn't the end of the season.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I just wasn't thinking about it, but it just felt like until that, right in the middle of the first half of extra time, I was like, oh shit, we're getting, they're on it right now. Yeah. I mean, I think it was the 57th second. That they almost scored, even though I really loved what they did with Georgie there, because what Georgie comes in to do is completely imbalance the possession of our offense. Not in a bad way, but I meant like actually we know that we're going to suck the ball into the right side and he's going to have possession of the ball.
I always love it when they do that.
Yeah. And he had, man, he's going to be something fun to watch next year.
But we did see them go away from that after that initial push though, which I thought was kind of interesting. And really it was after that completely ridiculous set of calls against the Sounders where Georgie got bodied off the ball by a shoulder, got pushed over and stuck his foot out and touched the ball, didn't touch the LA defender. And then they called the foul on Georgie and then followed up by Christian getting the ball on the ground, clearly not touching the defender. And then, I mean, at that point I was like, Don Garber made the call. Don Garber was come on, the LAFC come through.
That was funny.
You know, they want the El Trafico.
So the refereeing, my reaction to finish it off refereeing wise, I think he wasn't great. I don't think it affected the outcome of the match.
Yeah, he was not terrible. In fact, I would say up until that point in the game, and then there was a few calls that went against LA too, but up until that point in the game, exactly. I didn't feel like the ref was being a feature. Man,
I thought he was good. Okay, while you might have to turn that notification off. In the meantime, I thought the ref was consistent. That might be his style. And you know what? That's okay. Mm-hmm. As long as if that's your style and you're consistent, okay, all parties to it, great.
I enjoyed the air on the side of you flopped.
Yeah.
That he gave in this match. There was a lot of that, which they were flops. Wait. And especially Kai Kamara in the box.
Oh, God. Just the match. Kai doing Kai things, trying to.
Yeah, I thought it was a lab with that. Once they put in Kai, I was like, uh-oh, the Sounders killer is here.
I do want to say one thing, though, going back to Georgie. If I recall correctly, that amazing kick save that Fry had in extra time, ball came right to a LAFC player who was about to just blast it on an exposed net, and Georgie came back from out of nowhere to get his foot in front of that and made a key block that,
and it came off Georgie's foot. That's why it almost went in.
But it also went wide after that versus I will take that every single time. I thought Georgie had a couple defensive actions that impressed the hell out of me in a playoff game. It's exactly what I want to see.
I hadn't seen that yet, so I was concerned about that from him, with considering this is the most important stretch of minutes of the season for obvious reasons. And he's in there not just to make shit happen on the offensive side, but you need to ensure that the defense stays together, and that is the entire team. That's what Schmetzer says. Defense is front to back. And I was a little bit concerned in extra time that he might not make the right decisions because he's never in that – never is thinking of that.
Yeah, he's never had to be.
He's not asked. That's not what he's asked.
It's not his ass, yeah.
Now –
So, but yeah, I was
worried in extra time because of, or not extra time, I guess, overtime. What do we call it? Is it in, because extra time extra is
added time. No.
Wait. Added time is injury time. Extra time is overtime.
Yes. Extra time is when you have 30 minutes of guaranteed time.
So in extra time,
stoppage time, added time is,
we bring in Atencio, and then it kind of felt like it did against San Jose where he struggled a little bit and made us.
He's lost it.
I think he's obviously not getting the minutes that he's expecting, but his part, and also maybe it was a weird
neither is John Bell.
Because you had, that's right, everyone else stepped up when they were asked to, but you had JP, Obed, and Atencio on the field at the same time. So a little bit different.
Exactly, because you brought Atencio on who did you bring Atencio on for? Oh, for Reed Baker Whiting.
Reed Baker Whiting when he got
Then Yamar went down and just it got a little chaotic. By the way, Yamar with one of my favorite yellow cards.
I think I said it in the Discord. Link in the show description, which is it's been going off. Cameron has since muted it, but link in the show description. Join the Discord. We've had new members during the match. Love you all. But I did say that he was player of the match. As soon as he did that, and he's like, "What the hell are you doing, kid? Stay on the field." At that point, it was 1-1 still,
yes,
correct?
Yes, it was still 1-1.
Yeah, so he's like, we win this match, which I believed. If we watched it to penalties, we were winning. I had no doubt about that. Like, I hate penalties with my team. I like watching penalties for other teams. But I was actually confident, let's bring it to penalties, and I believe we'll win it, because that's how we got here.
Yeah.
But I loved that move.
Although sorry, Nick. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Your conversation.
Well, while he's looking down, I'll say I thought Rui Diaz was going to score on that first time, and then and also I thought he was going to get assist when he had Georgie on the right there. But last time, where it was probably his best chance to score, I wish he had gone to the corner, because there was only like 3 minutes left, 2 minutes left. I'm like, didn't we learn anything from Houston? Just go to the corner. But how awesome would it have been for Rui Diaz to get a goal there?
I think that's why he didn't go to the corner. It would have been awesome. No.
But that Georgie move where he like bowled through two defenders. I'm just like, oh my God, if we score in that moment.
So
LA,
by the way, Georgie, did he lose his eyesight recently?
About a year and a half ago, the infection happened.
That's insane. Okay. Yeah. So I thought that was just, he's
always adapted to it. No, this is new. Exactly. This is since we signed him
as a professional athlete. Like, is he Kirby Puckett reincarnate as a soccer
holy
player?
Holy hell. Like, I love Kirby
Puckett's career ended because of his eyesight.
I know. And then I realized, oh, wait, that's why.
But I will, a little interjection here.
R.I.P.
My 12th birthday, I got to be an honorary ball boy. And I got to go out in the field before the game with the Mariners. I got to meet Edgar Martinez and hang out. And we were playing the Twins. And Kirby Puckett came over and shook my hand and signed a ball for me.
Hey, Kirby, Tony Gwynn, those are some of those class act players that just...
Yeah. Two of the greatest of all time. Love that will soon be joined by Ichiro in the Hall of Fame. And hopefully Felix.
Felix would be a while. That's another conversation.
Well, he's up right now.
I know. It's not gonna happen this year. But that's another conversation. Nick, finish your thought. But I think after your thought, that we should jump into our mailbag of sorts. This is a little off kilter show.
I was just gonna check in to see if we were gonna go like by half, or if you want to go into mailbag. I was gonna kind of segue.
I think we should do mailbag and then let that take us where we want.
Let's do it
wherever we may go.
Wow,
Cameron, that's you.
Yeah, I'm just in awe of.
Be prepared. I'm gonna grab a beer now.
Well, I mean, I'm prepared. I'm just also watching an F1 race, which is in lap 48 of 50.
All right. So while he's doing that, I just want to point out something real quick. We ended up leading LAFC for all of 11 minutes in a 480 minutes played against them this season, and we advance into the playoffs.
Yeah.
With the help of an Owen goal joining the team.
Owen goal. It reminds me of that NBA Western Conference Finals where Portland led for 80% of the series and got swept.
Golden State. That was brutal.
I was down there at game four when they got swept. It was painful, because although I root against other Portland teams, I do root for the Blazers.
At that point you're just kind of like, you throw your hands up and just go, well, the sports gods be damned. Was actually only the second time this season where LAFC went up first and lost the game.
They've had three times where they haven't won. The other
two were draws.
Two were draws. Okay.
Yeah, two draws and one loss. So nice. Okay, let's hit that mailbag.
Before that, real quick, I want to just make sure you both saw, and if you haven't seen this yet, I recommend every single Sounders fan to go check out the Sounders Twitter. I put the link there for you both in the chat, and you can see the celebratory locker room photo that they took after the game there, which is a pretty great little photo.
It is.
They're just so happy. And look at, especially Danny. Love Danny down in the front. And De La Vega. And, I mean, this is a team that clearly believes in each other. They go down. De La Vega obviously didn't score the goal, but it's made happen by him, right? Like, if he's not there, Chanot doesn't score for us. And what a beautiful shot from Chanot on goal. Seriously, just kind of like angled out towards the post, just past the keeper's fingertips. You couldn't ask for a better strike.
You're such an ass.
It's so true. We have a bunch of stuff came in, and usually I would start with the Discord, but I'm going to start with someone who has been a part of the show from day one of my involvement. So I guess that would be, is that season two, or did we restart the seasons when I came back?
Oh, you're season one, my friend. Okay, so yeah, no, I mean, just anyone that's new, we've grown a lot in the last year, honestly. But yeah, there was two seasons of me and Tor. And if you listen to the last of every single episode, you will hear Tor talking to Alexa.
Right. But we rebooted the show. So we started from season one, and he's been a part of this since day one of this podcast and this version of the reboot. James Woolard asks, how great is Steph?
I mean,
he specifically asked us that for the podcast.
I mean,
yes,
this is why he's this is why he's starting in the playoffs.
Right.
I understand. And honestly, I was swooned by Andy. I think we all were.
Oh,
for a very
spending 2 hours in the room with him and being like, dude, this guy's the real deal.
I'm looking forward to a future where Andy is the next in our line. We've only had three goalkeepers in Sounders history.
Yeah.
Three starters. We've had.
And never in this.
We've had Casey Keller. We've had Marcus Schperning, Michael Schperning, and we've had Stephen Fry.
Yep.
We've all three of them. And I'm sorry, I will go to my grave saying that Schperning was a very, very elite goalkeeper in a lot of ways.
100%.
I mean, he's a goalkeeper coach now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how good he was. He's so technically skilled.
Exactly. And so we've been, find me another team that has had so many years with three goalkeepers. Like,
I mean, that's a journalist story right there. Like, dive into that and share that, because that is impressive for one club and for almost 20 years.
And with that said, one goalkeeper coach, Tommy Dutra. So a lot of love and a lot of respect to him. Mm-hmm. And the other part of all of that is I'm looking forward to, I do believe that Andrew Thomas might have the opportunity to put his stamp on that legacy in a year or two.
Yeah. When it says
he's got a good ramp up, and I'm glad he brought that up first, because I made a note in my phone. As soon as the whistle was blown, there was a shot for a second on Apple TV, and it had at the bottom of the frame, the sideline where the benches are. So you could see the players. And as it's panning up, you see Andy sprinting off to the left while everyone's going to center field.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only presume he's going straight to Steph.
Yeah.
For someone that has put in performances this year where we've had conversations about should he start? Should we sub him in? For Steph to have the performance he did today and then have the respect from Andy to sprint to him and be that excited, that tells you, one, the locker room is locked in, because that is probably the hottest competition.
And also, that's Andy. Field, I mean, that is Andy.
And there you go.
That's who he is. And
a human being in the locker room that loves.
Yeah. I don't know if Casey Keller, I've never really heard him talk about Tommy Dutra, but Casey Keller was the end of his career. And I suppose Schperning was too, but in a different way. But
Schperning had to adapt to this league and needed.
And he obviously helped him. But even after the game, Fry was giving. They wanted Fry to give himself some love, and he gave it all to his teammates and Tommy Dutra, as usual. So clearly, I think from the time that we got to spend with Andy Thomas recently, he's in that same vein of he's media savvy. He knows the right thing to say when to say it.
But with that said,
hey Cameron, I think you need to get Andy on for a Patreon show. I think you need to ask the right people. Yeah. I think you need to get him.
With that said, one thing that I do want to point out though is there was a question where we asked, "Hey, is Christian Roldan
state?"
We asked Andy, the reports that the locker room, this is one of the tightest locker rooms you've ever seen, you know, and it seemed very genuine in a positive way. Like, yeah, this team has been together for so long, which is somewhat unusual for a lot of soccer teams, and so many players
in general,
and exactly, and so many players have grown with the team from literally youth and teenager years, And you look at those pictures that the Sounders just posted from the locker room, you're seeing so much camaraderie in those photos. And I think there's, it's very undeniable.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm most excited about this team. I think it's taken a long time for us to start realizing what they, not the image, but the personality of this team or the, what they're trying to accomplish. In the last month or two, we've started to see, okay, there's consistency on the product of the field. Like what we're seeing every single day, every single match has been consistent. And that only started a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just getting more and more.
And we haven't lost a match in forever. Like, I think there's one in there and I can't even remember off the top of my head. Portland. I think it was like the second or third game to end the season, right? Portland, is that what we said?
Last game of the season, yeah. Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Since like August?
We had one other loss somewhere in there. Portland also. I think both Portland games.
No, I think didn't San Jose kind of get a late one on us?
Oh, yeah. No, that was a tie. Oh,
okay.
That was a tie because remember they tied it, which got them the Heritage Cup. But I will say at 9:28 p.m., I said the Sounders would be incredible if they had a number nine. And at 10:08 p.m., 40 minutes later, I said Jordan Morris, all capital letters, is the greatest number nine in Sounders history. I told you this. So but I do want to say
never change, Cameron.
At the point that I tweeted that. The first one, and I wrote it in the Discord, join our Discord, Discord in the show notes. We had two shots on goal, I think, in the game. By the end of the game, we finished with, it was either six or nine shots on goal. So we actually started shooting towards the end. But it only took that one chance. And that's all. If you give us a chance, we're going to take it.
Honestly, that one, the goal was the only one that actually seemed like it actually had something to it. Right.
I honestly thought it went any of the other shots. I think you mentioned something about depth perception on one of the other shots in Discord. I actually thought at first that it went wide and bounced back from behind. So it took me for a second to realize that it actually went in because Jordan was so far out because of that angle. I didn't think it had gone in. So I was so happy.
It definitely had the angle of hitting the back of the back of the net. Yeah.
So let's get to some of these questions here.
Yeah. Roll through them. Let's go. And let's try to be, since we heard all those beeps, let's try to be.
Sure. I mean, some of it is, you know, people like to have discussions. So these are comments from Mikey Six Strings on Twitter, who's always a great follow. Fry versus Guzan comic book series. That would be pretty fun. So
it would be fun.
We also have Messi taking notes from JMO.
Okay. Let be honest. I know you were frustrated. He's got his head on the header. It was a difficult finish, and that's where sometimes I fear, like,
which is funny because Messi scored his last goal in the MLS this season with a header, right?
Yeah. But I mean, here's the thing with Jordan. Really, it's that. I don't feel like as a number nine, he's putting himself in dangerous positions to score.
He's an 8.5.
Yeah. Man. I mean, and to be honest, when he scored his goal, he was back on the wing. He was not playing number nine.
Did you both see the post-game interview with his son in his arms?
Oh, yes.
Poking the microphone.
Yeah, that was so cute.
So good.
Theo, he's getting so big. I also liked his kid jersey.
I completely forgot that Jordan's basically like, I don't know. I'm a father. You're a father, Nick. But I only think of Jordan as just like, I moved here because my dog is here.
That was like a decade ago.
He is married with a kid. Yeah. Like his dad is retired.
I will say I like that the kid's jersey had full side lettering for Morris on the back.
I noticed that lettering. As well.
I was just like, that's so cool. They should do that for every kid jersey.
I'm anal retentive about jerseys, and I picked up on that immediately.
I liked it because it makes it pop.
Pause. Yeah. You said anal retentive. SNL skit. Phil Hartman, anal retentive chef. Yes, you know what I'm talking about.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
I don't recall.
Before we go to bed.
And everything Phil Hartman I love.
Everyone, Google it after the show.
Such a difficult life. If you are a victim of domestic abuse like he was, please seek out help. There's ways that you can get help. Last one from Mikey, Six Strings, Sounders own LAFC in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know if we lost last year, but if you think about it, this is 2019.
Every 5 years. Yeah. Every 5 years we own them. In the every 5 years we play one really good game.
And you know what? If we're going to do it, I'd rather be the playoffs than the first game of the year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go.
And honestly,
I mean, last year they had
1-0. Was that wasn't even that bad?
It was 2-1 because Pedro got his penalty. Yeah. That was Pedro came in and got a penalty.
That is right. So I
want to talk about Pedro. If there's anything you see in the Discord about Pedro, can you say it? Otherwise, can we talk about him for like 30 seconds?
Let's talk. Unless you think he was the weakest link, which I doubt. Let's talk about him. For about 30 seconds, go.
Dude, DP getting subbed off.
Pedro? I mean, he hasn't played full 90 all season. You're taking him off to put in Georgie. And you did see a difference there. I don't like it. I would rather see them.
I get it.
I'd rather Giroud.
I totally get in the con. If you're thinking about this one game, yes. You're looking at it; it all makes sense. Take 30,000 foot level. That's our one. It's Rusnak and
can
him.
I talk you off a ledge here?
Took off Rusnak too.
You've got to remember that earlier in the season, after he was coming back from injury, they had admitted that he was one injury away from shutting him down for the year, and that they were going to manage his minutes throughout the year. I believe that this is a part of that, that the sports science behind it is do not.
I understand that.
I'm just trying to give the counterpoint.
I do think we'd be more dangerous if we keep him on the field and sub someone else off. There's games where he has been like put his whole heart into it and he needs to come off. He came out in the 80 something at the minute.
It didn't seem like he
90th minute against Houston.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking really hard on this because I totally get it. Yes, 100%. And also the ROI, we need to make sure we don't fuck this up, because if we do advance, which we did in hindsight, we advanced and I'm happy with the sub now in hindsight. Yeah. But at the moment, man,
I mean, I am
not stoked about signing DP, and then the moment when I need this, Cameron, I need this man on the field because we paid for it, and I need it to show proof.
Can I ask you?
And then you pull him off.
Who had on the bingo card this year? Let me just paint this picture.
No,
who had this on their bingo card this year at the beginning of the season that we would be freaking out and thinking negative about no Paul Rothrock starting in the playoffs against LAFC.
I'll be honest with you. I was not concerned about that at all.
Here's what I mean. At all. I was concerned only because they didn't end up adjusting the lineup to make it more dangerous because they only wanted to shoot.
Well, that was because a lot of other shit.
Sure.
But illnesses across the Atlantic.
I just think it would have been incredible to have a more dangerous top three there. I mean,
no danger in our attack.
None.
At all. I knew that immediately to start the match. Yeah. And I knew exactly what we were going to do. And we did it. And they knew what we were going to do. And they couldn't break it. Which makes me feel so confident going forward. To be the best defense and then prove it tonight.
When you can impose your will. When the other team knows what you're going to do and they...
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, we're the best defense and Yamar gets pulled out.
Yeah, here...
And we fucking still win.
I'm worried about...
Against LAFC.
This is future that conversations. Is I am worried about the consequences of maybe no Yamar next round. I'm worried about.
I am very concerned.
Who do we play next round? Are we going to play a high-powered offense in LA? I mean, LA Galaxy, or are we going to play an equally good defense to us, and then have difficulty scoring again in Minnesota. So, well, those are good problems to talk about later. We'll get to them. But yes, it's the injuries today, and this brings to a question that we did have come in. It says, really, it was like, what was our weakest link? Tim Hamilton said hamstrings and Josh, but it ended up not being a hamstring.
He's not wrong.
It ended up not being a hamstring with Reed. It was calf, which okay. makes it, I wonder if it was a really bad cramp.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, "That's calf."
I thought it was hamstring, but he
that's
grabbed
the Tommy Horse, or it's called Tommy Horse, right?
No,
Charlie Horse, Tommy John,
Charlie Horse,
Tommy Horse.
wait, can we do a shout? Did Nathan finish the game with his Tarzan shorts, or did he eventually switch them out? Like,
oh, they could have switched at the overtime. When did that happen?
It happened before that.
In the first half,
I think it was in the second half when he came on. He took a cleat to the leg, and it just ripped.
It was worse than that because the foot came back and the heel hit him directly in the balls. And then
I didn't see that.
Oh, the heel came down and went right into the balls. And then slid across his leg.
Like 20 seconds behind you, Cameron, and I thought I was live for a second. So when you said that, I was like, "What?" And then it showed up. I don't think it actually hit his nuts.
It looked like it did. Either way, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't get cut up in his leg because when you get cleats stepped on like that, usually you do.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. There's a Nathan's Frank and Beans conversation we can have here because
it's probably not appropriate. But now all I'm thinking of.
No, I said fuck in the first.
No. All I'm thinking. I was gonna do the voice. All I'm thinking of is something about Mary when.
Frank and Beans.
Yeah, the brother. Yeah.
No, you're not fabricating it. You're reiterating.
Yeah.
It. It's fine.
But
Frank and Beans.
I think more importantly though, I loved you knew damn well that Nathan was never going to take himself out of that game. Getting a chance to finally play again and step up.
Note on my phone right now. Nathan looked ready.
Yeah.
Experience matters.
You know why?
Experience matters.
Well, more importantly, Nicholas knows it's because he waved at us in Vancouver. He was the only Sounders player to actually interact with us during the game, and we gave him that little boost. He kept waving until Roma saw him and acknowledged him.
Actually, that was actually really sweet because, in warmups, Roma was kind of looking around and seeing things, and Nathan was waving and pointing, and she was looking around, and then finally,
Roma is his daughter. Everyone,
was he put her down earlier tonight.
We're not talking about
that. It sounds terrible now.
I know it does. It's awful, but he's the one who said it.
Putting Roma down, then I'll be jumping on the show. Is basically what Nick said.
Well, my Roma's horse fine, broke his everyone. Leg in the race. Time to put him down.
Nathan, Roma is fine.
He is, Nathan. Don't worry. And if you need to blame next week, we're ready. Because all we've seen when Nathan's been on the field is good things. Now, he's not Yandel.
He's only played LAFC.
No, he played against San Jose as well. He came in for an injury.
That's a team that doesn't count.
The team that beat us one time and came back and tied us the other time?
It doesn't count because we are in the Western Conference.
I'm worried about your mindset for our Pub League Championship weekend tomorrow.
Oh, hey, we don't need to worry about this team.
You're
they
not
don't
a coach
count.
Anymore.
They don't count.
You don't. You can't tell me what to do.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going with it. I do agree. Yeah. Hamstrings. What's up with all these injuries? Late night game. I mean, essentially they're playing until after 10 p.m.
Yeah, wasn't great.
I don't know. I mean, it's not that. It started raining though, so maybe a little slippery. They didn't have the right cleats on. I don't know, but don't like the injuries.
Absolutely nothing.
So going back to Cedar says, what was our weakest link tonight for you? I mean, I think
weakest link.
I think it's the last pass to. So I'm not going to put it all on Jordan Morris. We never had passes that made us look goal dangerous, except for in the second half we started, but nothing that was really that goal dangerous.
Except the own goal. Agree with you. It's not a player. It's the last pass. There was not. I think, I mean, look at this. We won 2-1, but we really won the game because we had some luck. We also were stalwarts defensively. And then Jordan. Our weakest link is we cannot produce goals.
Yeah.
That was a ball at your feet goal.
Do we need to?
I mean, when you are this good defensively.
To win two more games, we're going to need a couple more goals that are purposeful.
I mean, we're three games in now and we're not creating goals.
Okay.
I don't think it'll last for five straight games.
Against one of the best offenses in the league, we held them to one big chance, which they missed.
Cool. We're super great on defense.
Yeah, I mean, but that's our game this year. That's how we've been doing it.
We're going to need to score two goals. I need to have
careful on that monkey paw because it might be 2-0 against Minnesota and then a 0-0 PK shootout and MLS.
I fully expect a Minnesota matchup to be a 0-0 silly match.
I do worry a little bit about Minnesota.
If we play LA Galaxy, we got to score two goals.
I do worry a little bit about Minnesota because I feel like we are to Minnesota what LAFC was to us.
Yeah, in some ways, I mean, I talked about it last episode and it was just me. Pod on You Loons podcast, literally call Seattle Minnesota's daddy.
Love
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Adrian so Heath.
That's the thing is, Adrian Heath isn't there anymore.
I know, and that's why I don't want to talk shit about it because I'm not feeling super confident. Like there is no easy win anymore. Yeah, we're this far in the playoffs.
Which I'm fine. Okay. With that thought, I mean, I think there is a great parity in the league, and I honestly think our style or our foundation, which is just cohesion and defense, and everything else builds forward, right? Honestly, if we could take down LAFC and take down in a very razor thin margin, by the way. Mm-hmm. We could have easily lost that game.
Yeah, that's the playoff.
There is not a team I'm worried about. Miami's out.
Oh, I don't.
LA Galaxy. I'm not. I'm more concerned about LAFC for obvious reasons.
I've watched
our history. With them is completely different.
True.
And also, there's now a arm in arm confidence out of that locker room tonight. Link in the show description. We're going to whoop them if they beat Minnesota. Minnesota is a wild card a little bit, but also I think there's a we've been here, you have not. And also we're your father. So,
but also
we want Minnesota.
LA Galaxy fans are celebrating because they think they just made it to the MLS Cup.
Adorable. You know what LA Galaxy fans are good at? Not winning.
Wow.
It's been like well over a decade. Man,
Ricky Pooj is on a tear.
I'm more aware about the other guys.
So LA Galaxy has Ricky Pooj, and then LAFC is Oshkosh Bagoosh.
I mean, LA Galaxy has
but they're not a good team.
I think LAFC has more dangerous players, in my opinion. I think LA Galaxy play better as a team.
I think that's fair.
And I think that is to our advantage.
Could be.
I think that is to our advantage. I think if we could break LAFC,
as long as it keeps alive, as long as we keep pushing it forward, you never know who's going to show up. We clearly were out coached for portions of this game. They made better subs than we did, and I think it took a breakthrough from Jordan to change things.
I hear you. I think the Yamar injury was a huge factor in
and we did see a drop off slightly with Nathan. Not as much as I would have expected, though. I mean, Buonga did have more space, but he went from being completely shut down to being mostly shut down.
At the same
time, Yamar collects the ball and pushes the ball.
At the same time,
and Nathan didn't push it very well.
At the same time, at that point of the game, when you know, when they're getting stopped, you know, at home,
things happen. They tense up. They start pushing it a little more. They start trying to do too many things instead of just doing what makes them successful. I think our last game against them at Starfire, where it was very similar defensive frustration, where they got bailed out by a penalty. And then tonight, I think they were just getting really frustrated. I think the moment of the match for me was the own goal. A few minutes later, getting that goal before we started making substitutions that we couldn't come back from, that was... That took the momentum, and that was, I think, the moment where I thought we're going to be okay.
I think so. I think I agree, but then the first half of overtime happened, and that was painful. That was like they made a change from five at the back to four at the back, which in theory should have allowed us to exploit that defense a little more and finally given us a chance to be able to be more goal dangerous, and we couldn't even get possession of the ball. I think it stayed on our half of the field for the first 10 minutes.
That's a concern.
Is it though? I mean, you got to take the context of the moment.
To me, that the coaching decision based off of what LAFC had already decided to do is a concern to me. Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in the players on the field, and there's a very consistent, sturdy expectation from the players on the field that I almost don't even think I'm thinking of Schmetzer's decision so much. But in that moment, I thought that was risky.
I get worried. I know we were able to sit there, take all the pressure, turn it around, and you know, led to a goal. But if we didn't have that halftime in extra time, I think it's a different story. The halftime came right at halftime.
I think that's exactly what my brain was at. Is that halftime at halftime, the seventh quarter or seventh eighth of the match.
Don't that make halftime. Aaron do math after we've been drinking and coming off of a big high of a good win.
Let's, you know what? Let's just keep it moving, because I know y'all have a game in 8 hours. And so, because it is just
that
at
is
midnight.
Disgusting. It just hit midnight.
Alex Diaz, one of our newer, I think been around for a little over a month on the Discord, one of our newer listeners, shout out to Alex, says J-Mo silenced the number nine haters.
I don't hate, but I'm not silenced.
I mean, he was on the wing. He was on the wing. I mean, he finally scored a goal, and he clearly needed it. I hope this wakes it up. Like, remember last time this happened? He was struggling, and then he had, what, 6 goals in 4 games or something like that?
Well, I'll
take it.
Strikers are
but streaky. That's the nature of a striker.
He's a striker who's
fast. Yeah, so I'll take it right now. Let's get him 4 goals in the next 2 games.
This is a good time to start a streak.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference semifinals. Hey, actually, though, I love that was a goal from Jordan at 100 bajillion minutes.
Yeah.
He was not exciting to me for 90 minutes, honestly. And I, in hindsight, am glad it worked out the way it did. I do think Raul has a possibility of a better possibility of scoring more goals for us in this next match.
It depends on who we play, because I think
I was just going to say, depending on who we play, I kind of think LA Galaxy, we just roll it right back out. And Nuhu is a huge question mark, and we will potentially talk about that in a couple days. But I kind of need Raul at least at halftime, 60 minutes for the next match, because he is someone that can take a ball, turn a hip, and fucking shoot it and be on target. And not having a fucking shot on target is really hard to digest right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We have one final mailbag thing, question, comment that we want to discuss. Before we do that, I just want to make sure that all Sounders season ticket holders know The Sounders are awaiting their opponent from the clash between LA Galaxy and Minnesota United happening tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. That will decide who we play next. If it's LA Galaxy, it's at LA. If it's Minnesota, guess what? Your card on file is going to be charged as soon as that game ends. So be ready. You're about to get a charge if we're hosting a
transfer your balances.
Yeah. So
in all fairness, if the card doesn't go through, the club is really good about working and checking with you on that. So don't panic too much.
Don't panic. Just don't be surprised if you get a charge because
but prepare.
Yeah, we could be hosting a game next weekend. Also, if we host the final, and I'm assuming that is, yes, that is the Western Conference final, not the MLS Cup final. If we host the, which we could also host, but if we get there, we do. Member
exclusive. LA loses, we host.
Well, we still have to beat. Yes, but I'm saying the MLS Cup. If we make it to the MLS Cup, we host.
We are one win away from MLS Cup.
Yeah. But there will be a pre-sale for season ticket holders on Monday that starts at 10 a.m. if we're hosting the Western Conference Final for you to get those extra tickets for your friends and family members. So if you follow at Nikita Banana on Twitter, he always does a good job of making sure tickets go to the right places.
Who is that guy?
Sounds awesome.
I mean, that's what you did for the MLS.
Princess Nikita Banana Hammock.
I mean, honestly, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I don't know how the club would plan on doing MLS Cup next time around, but they were very specific about and deliberate about why and how they allocated tickets last time.
Yep, making sure they got in the hand of Sounders fans, season ticket holders, and at a reasonable price.
Now, with that said, you know, one of the things that is very important for me is soccer for all. And, you know, what I tried to do is, you know, I got a whole bunch of people from Pub League together that were season ticket holders, and we basically tried to find out who needed tickets but didn't have them and put each other in contact with one another to try and make it, you know, as maximized as much as possible to get people face value tickets to the event. I have no idea what's going to happen in the future, you know, with lot changes in 5 years.
Yeah. The entire model of ticket prices is
changing. It really has. But with that said, if you are a season ticket holder, I suspect you're going to be fine as long as you pay as you go for the playoffs. Yeah. And then
but let's not get ahead of ourselves because we got to get there first.
Yeah. But let's focus on the next game. Let's enjoy watching the game tomorrow.
Yeah. I'll be playing during it, I think.
What are you doing at 3 o'clock tomorrow?
I will have just won
Gracie's birthday party.
Oh, we're going to be dancing. Oh, by the way, real quick. I told Roma as I was driving Scott home or to the light rail after the game, I told Roma, hey, tomorrow Gracie's birthday, it's going to be a dance birthday party. Because she asked me, is it going to be a swimming birthday party or a trampoline birthday party? And it's going to be a dance.
All the places I've been that were fun.
I'm like, it's going to be a dance birthday party. I swear to God, I wish I recorded it because she squealed isn't the right word. She screamed with delight. So I thought you'd be very appreciative of that, Aaron, how excited she is to
be. Wait. So you guys aren't going to be there when I score the game-winning penalty to send the Bad News Bears to the Pub League Championship?
No, but we already got people that are going to film it. Okay, they're ready.
We got you covered. Sure. We got you covered.
Because that is the time where that would be happening, since that would be the second game.
It's funny that you were like concerned about that when we were both physically present for your penalty kick and we didn't film it.
So, hey, but we saw it. It good job.
Yeah, we saw it. But that's it's not worth sharing with the rest of the world.
So we have one final come in that just says, and I think this is an interesting question. I know my answer. It's going to be the same as Tim Hamilton, good old Muffin Top Model's answer.
Model.
Which team has the biggest chance of beating the Sounders now? So we've got the possibility for LA Galaxy, Minnesota United, Orlando Magic. What are they called? FC? Just Orlando FC.
Atlanta.
And
Red Bulls. It's honestly LA Galaxy. It really, the MLS Cup, by all accounts, is probably coming out of the West. I stand by what I said last week, which was I think the winner of this game tonight has the inside track to being MLS champion. However,
I agree with that.
Inside track does not mean much of anything in MLS.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta still do it. What about you, Aaron? What are you thinking?
I think with Seattle's win, I hummed it when you just said that, Nick, that if Seattle wins, if LAFC wins, these are the teams that are likely getting the probability of winning MLS Cup. Our defense is too good, and I'm biased, obviously. That's why we do this show. But our defense is too good. I think LAFC had the best system to break our defense down, and we still didn't allow it to happen.
Yeah,
and they couldn't do it. I don't think I wish I could pull out of my ass what we did against LA Galaxy this year, but I don't remember them being a concerning opponent.
They didn't have two of their starters, but when we played them in the
League's Cup,
we dominated them. We beat them like 4-1 or something 3-1. Like that.
I just feel like this is going to be a team that's trying to punch concrete. I feel like we need to figure out how we can score goals, but we seem to not figure out how to win games. And that is the most important thing. Winning games is more important than scoring goals. Mm-hmm. We won a championship on that. So yeah. I'm not really concerned about LA Galaxy any less than I was about LAFC. So LAFC, we got past them. Let's go, Carson.
So my answer then is probably along those lines. I think
and Minnesota, I'm not concerned. I'm just not concerned.
The team that has the biggest chance of beating the Sounders now is the Sounders.
Exactly.
I think if the Sounders defensive style,
I like that a lot.
They're going to win. Shout out to Muffin Top Model for saying it as a joke, but he's right. I mean, I think the Sounders
he's have totally right. formula. He's totally right. I'm not actually concerned about anyone else than our team.
And this is the Brian Schmetzer model of playing soccer. And he has, in his years, he has perfected that defensive structure. He's done great of getting teams to buy in to the team cohesion and to doing it as a team. Helps having a really good goalkeeper in Stefan Fry. But hey, you know.
Well, that does help, but there's a lot of evidence to show that the goalkeeping is not a reason why we've had what we occurred in these last. This last game was insane by Fry. But if Brian Schmetzer can get us to the MLS Cup final this year, Cameron, you cannot say hashtag Schmetzer out.
I mean, I was ready to say it.
That's a well-rounded best coach of all time. I know, I understand that, but dude, this is no, a phenomenal.
Cameron from Hot Takes Collins?
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a reason we hired you.
I said it. I hope Nuhu never sees the field again. He's proven that we don't need him. John Bell has the position now. See ya.
Homie, we get through this game without any need for Nuhu. I hope it's a real illness because.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Okay. Can I say it's really interesting to me that this stuff has happened on multiple occasions.
That's my issue.
When Nuhu goes away for international duty, it's
a pattern.
And I have a theory where I've worked with people who, when the boss is away and not watching them, their work ethic changes. And I don't know if that's what's happening here because it seems like, oh, missed a flight or, oh, was out and caught COVID or, oh, I'm sick. Oh, I didn't make it back in time. And this is a,
and it's
my guess. Not all of it. I agree that
I mean, like, he didn't get a blood illness at one point.
When malaria?
Was it malaria? They never said, but they just said it was a blood illness. But
I believe it was malaria. No,
was it? Jesus.
Now, one thing I do want to say to counterpoint my theory is New Who is the one player who is being asked to travel the most difficult travel itineraries of any of our international players.
Absolutely.
So I want to be careful where I'm positing this question, but I also want to give the benefit of the doubt. But there is a pattern of things happening, and how much of it is preventable, how much of it is, that's
so,
what happens.
So my concern is from a communication side from the club, mm-hmm. to make us not feel like this is something we should worry about, because there's plenty of outlets that are freelance, like ourselves, essentially, and that are just journalists that are like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And if you want to protect yourselves, you give us some transparency. If illness is the answer, I don't believe it's illness. I believe it's maybe part of it, or at least an excuse from his side.
I could see it being that. To me, it's more, what was the situation that led to an illness? Was there, was he out having fun, or was he just get it from the law? I mean, Raul got it.
Sure. There's no COVID, transparency at all, though.
So yeah, and some of that they can't.
I like that, actually. Some of that, like that's one thing about Brian, is he keeps the locker room drama internal. Where you look at other teams around the league, Portland, and some other teams, where you're seeing the dirty laundry being aired, and it's just a distraction, and it becomes a big problem. Where I think the Sounders have been really good about that, with the exception of the 2013 team.
Yeah. And by the way, it's 20 hours of flying. If you're
going, I'm not saying it's not terrible. If you're going to, I'm just saying it's normal. It's normal travel for international players of soccer leagues.
But it's different to I just want to be honest with the realization of not only that, but it's also when he lands in Cameroon with his team, and now he's got to get to wherever they're playing, and that might be, I have no idea if that's a difficult travel.
I feel like it would be very, very clear that there's a lot of just like, we had no control over this conversation versus he's not available.
That's not the Sounder style. They're never
going to do that. Which makes me think he's not available.
Yeah.
For the,
I mean, he's still in Cameroon right now.
So,
which makes me feel like he's not available for the foreseeable future.
Well, so in the end, this next week will be telling.
It doesn't really matter. I tried so.
Come on. No, we don't. Lincoln we don't. Park. No, no, we don't need. Is that Nickelback or Creed? Whatever it is.
No, it's Linkin Park. Oh,
to me, that's the same thing. I'm not a Linkin Park fan.
No,
you might as well be singing Buck thing. Cherry or. In the end, Nick, I couldn't even write a good song, here. And it doesn't even matter.
In all fairness, Buck Cherry.
I tried so hard.
Buck Cherry at Woodstock 99, they put on a show where it was like, oh, things are gonna happen with this band, and then things did.
I mean, their biggest song was a single.
Lit Up was a great song.
But it never was as big as their cover song they did. I forget which one.
Yeah, they did
they did a Dramarama cover. But here. Where can they find you? And then I'm going to leave everyone with something before James takes it away.
Ooh. Aaron?
Well, they can find me on X at Aaron Lingley, AaronLangley.
Nicholas?
On Twitter, you can find me at Nikita Banana, NIQUITABANANA. Want to add an S for the Gwen Stefani in this? But don't add the S. And then on Instagram, you can follow me at Cascades2C, CascadesToSea. Don't ask someone who's been drinking to spell in a fast manner. Have to really think about that. What about you, Cameron?
I'm at all social medias, including now Blue Sky, which I already was at, but I'd never use. Legal Minded Punk, all one word, LegalMindedPunk, and check this out.
But we do have another game to play.
Two more.
Thank you. One more to a final. We said that before the game. Two away from a final. But that was a heroic effort. I gotta say that
he said
you guys dug deep and persevered and did your, and it was an unbelievable goal, but your effort throughout the game, the guys that came on, the subs, did what they were supposed to do, guys that hadn't played in a while, just awesome. Leadership at the end, young legs, everybody, that was a total team effort.
So now we've got
momentum and confidence on our side. And now teams are going to want to play us. Okay, that's been happening
for
the last 2.5 months. So credit to you guys. Well done, everybody in the room. It was a fucking awesome performance. So
fucking awesome performance. Testify. Jingle bells. Hey! Hey!
Real quick.
Love it, dude.
Love that.
Love it.
In our last 10 games, we've allowed 5 goals. One of those 5 being an own goal.
Let's go, Sports. We're the best team of all time.
Let's fucking go.
This is a year. I said it would be magical. In the Discord, during the match, not on the show. But this team is something. I'm feeling it now. I'm riding it now. Let's go.
Take it away.
I'm excited.
Take it away, James. Take it away.
Take it away, James. Please take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.